Let's see, and a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Longbox podcast. This is episode 356, spotlight on DC Comics, Man of Steel, number one, circa 2018, and I am Chris Mosby.
And I am putting up with this particular comic, but no, I am Caleb Gerard.
Well, yeah, you know, we'll get into that in a second, because I just found out something. I did a little research about something that was in there, and I felt it was somewhat lame, but we will go for it.
Obviously my biggest concern or bugaboo here is that it's Brian Michael Bendis, who lots of words, little occurrence.
So. Yeah. All right. Mr. Gerard is not a fond of Bendis, but if you've been around comics at all, you know Brian Michael Bendis has worked for DC for like ever.
Marvel.
Excuse me. And he recently switched to Marvel. And looking at
DC.
Jesus.
You okay over there?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've been sitting here an hour getting all this ready, and I'm like, it's like my brain just dumped or something. I don't know. Anyway, he switched to DC, and it looks like I'm looking at stuff. A bunch of his Marvel creator-owned projects that been stalled over the years are going to be DC stuff, like his Scarlet and a couple others, which is. They just, what was it, Friday announced, Comixology announced they're going to be doing original stuff, printing, you know, publishing their own original stuff from different people, like Image's Elephant Men, and you can order them in print as well. Print on demand, from what I understand. So, go ahead.
What does this have to do with Bendis and Man of Steel?
Well, it seems like, I remember DC said something about doing a creator-owned line of their own, and of course, Bendis' stuff is going to be in there. I've seen at least two of his stuff, older things, and one new, maybe, that are going to be in there. So it's kind of interesting that Amazon's doing the same thing.
Okay. So. Got the connection.
Now.
You lost me there for a minute.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That was all. I was doing that on the fly. So, you know, there might not have been a connection. Anyway, along those lines, the first thing he's putting out, besides which it was hinted at in Action Comics number 1000. I don't know if it's like an 8-page, 10-page story. I don't remember how big it was. So we've got a weekly series, The Man of Steel, which is all about Superman, shocker, with Bendis and Ivan Reiss, which I'm really a big fan of. So that's what we're covering. We're probably not going to cover any more of this. There's lots of words. We don't have to say them all, but this is my idea, so I'll start. I'll start, and that will allow me to talk about the thing that I just discovered right before we got going. So, here we are. Man of Steel, number one, first issue. You got Superman standing there, and it says the weekly Superman event starts here. How much did this cost anyway? It was like $3, $2.99, $3.99. It was $3.99, I think. Anyway, so you got on the cover, wonderful Ivan Reiss. Artwork. Everybody's smiling here. You got
all the Justice League,
except for Batman and Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman sitting there thinking, "Great, another Superman book," and I only have one. But you got Cyborg. You got the Hal, Green Lantern, Aquaman, and the Flash, and all that good stuff. And you know, Batman's being broody as usual.
Batman's even unshaved.
Yes, he is. Okay, so first thing we got here, got a big cosmic looking picture of a planet, and it says in big letters Krypton, many years ago, and the dialogue starts: a planet of truly vile and insipid creatures. Every single one of them. And I warned you all this day would come. Now, okay, so this is where the issue is. You got this guy with a big axe, which if you read Action Comics number 1000, and let's, you know, spoilers. You got, he's standing there and he's talking to these big, huge blue guys that are around him. Now, the first thing I thought of was the Omniscience. Or no, excuse me, the Quintessence from, which has been in several comics. First of being in Kingdom Come by Wade and Alex Ross. And they were all, you know, big, huge dudes that talked about, you know, things that were going to happen. Well, I was trying to figure out who all these people were. And in the one from Kingdom Come, you had the Phantom Stranger, you had Shazam, you had Ganthet, you had the High Father, and I don't remember who that guy is. Who's the other guy from here? Phantom Stranger, Zeus, Olympian God King Zeus. Okay, so now you look at here, by golly, that looks a lot like that, doesn't it?
A little bit. The guy on the left looks like Sardath from Adam Strange.
Exactly.
And of course,
that's the King of Atlantis.
Okay.
I think.
And that's Ganthet and Allfather, and I don't know who the electrical looking guy is. Or
is that
Allfather?
That's it's a woman, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is the Ice Queen goddess that Ice was supposed to be. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm trying to find out what everybody thinks. And that guy looks like Wotan, all right, the sorcerer. But well, just hold it. Hold it. I'm getting to my point. I looked it up.
Okay.
And according to what I read, he's saying those guys are a bunch of people called the Circle. So he's co-opted. Yeah. So he's co-opted that idea, like it's his.
All right. Well.
Anyway.
I don't.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't he call it the Quintessence? They even say that it's in the thing. This group looks a lot like a Bendisian reinvention of the Quintessence. Anyway, all right, I don't know. I just don't like that. Seems like he's, that bugged me when I read it. Oh, yeah, that's just the Circle. And, yeah, that's my idea. Anyway, okay. So, anyway, the guy's standing there, and he's bitching and moaning, and he's saying, look, these Kryptonians are in the neighborhood. They're going to cause trouble. The property values are going to go down. We need to snuff them out. And they're going on and on.
NIMBY.
Yes.
NIMBY.
They are going to, they're going to knock down mailboxes. They're going to take over the Glee Club and everything else. And we need to.
Yeah, they're basically saying that once they show that the Kryptonians, all they do is they go out and take other people's stuff and make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's his claim.
Yes.
True or not, that is what this guy feels.
Yes.
Rogel. I don't know.
Rogel Czar. Yeah, and apparently he's helped them a lot over the years. He's saying, say what you mean. I like that. Krypton will not buckle to threats of war. See, he's saying, we need to tell them to cut, you know, don't do it. And they're not going to, he's saying, they're not going to listen. They will not surrender. They will fight to keep their way of life. And it seems like, wasn't it that storyline in the third Kryptonian that they started to get the hint that maybe, I think Buzik wrote it, that, you know, they were exactly like this guy saying. They were a conquering race. They were going to, you know, they were conquering worlds all over and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's
what he's basically saying you can't just beat them. We got to wipe them out.
Yeah.
They just got to.
We got to take them. We got to take them down.
Go all Nazi Hitler on these on this planet. So.
Yeah. So now we have.
Which, by the way, real quick.
Go for
it. On the side. Bendis has made a big point of saying that he is going to focus on the Judeo-Christian aspect of Superman in this book, in his books. So,
really?
Yes, that he's using this as an opportunity to get to some of the points that Siegel and Schuster had to kind of bury in their initial stories.
That makes sense.
So this guy is at least for the moment, he is Bendis's Hitler coming in to wipe out the Kryptonians, who were the Jews, who were always accused of stealing other people's stuff and co-opting it for themselves. Well, true or not, in some cases. I mean, in some cases, yeah they did, but all races have done that. All people have done that.
Well, you got that right.
So the not so subtle point that he's making here.
Okay, that's cool. That's a good level there. A little bit deeper than I thought. So now we
Bendis
go to
a thinker.
Yes, and now we go to Metropolis now. And somebody's saying, "You think I'm scared of this place? You think I was too scared to come to in Metropolis?" Well, guess what, Firefly? I am more mad at you than I am scared of this place. And this guy's all dressed up, and he's in some kind of outfit with a mask, and he's got, oh, it's Killer Moth.
Yeah, it's Killer Moth. Yes.
And he's pointing a gun at him. I know your name, dude. As long as I'm going to kill you, where's the money? He's like, dude, you need to be quieter. He listens for key phrases. He's gonna show up here. And Killer Moth keeps going, I looked him up in here even before I came here. The guy's in Tansy or someplace. I timed this. I'm smart, not like people. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, Superman shows up and takes them both.
It was a great scene. I tip my hat to Bendis. That whole piece of dialogue was awesome.
Okay. Yeah, where he's saying, yeah, he's like, you're pulling all his triggers, man. I like that. Yeah. He listens for yelling, listens for things like, where's the money? Yeah, perfect. Yeah. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, God, please don't drop me. He says, and it's a great, this is very reminiscent of Neil Adams and Kurt Swan page right here. I really like this.
Yes, very Neil Adams. Very, very Neil Adams.
And I really like it. And he's even drawn the, and really, if you want to get down to it, this is what I'm looking forward towards in this, is Ivan Reis' art. So, you know, I might just not read it and just look at it. Anyway, it's not that bad. I'm not real fond of the whole, you know, cosmic assassination guy that he's come up with, but whatever. He says, I don't do that. Batman does it all the time. I know, but it's funny when he does it. Firefly's like, oh, God. Hey, Professor.
Nope, Curie. That's not fair. Yeah, go ahead.
What? Wait, is that? Who's
doing? Nothing. I misspoke.
Okay. Says, hey, Professional Curiosity, you don't have to answer. What happened to guys like you, and he's using air quotes, being too scared to set foot in Metropolis? I thought that was why this was the perfect place to hide. Oh, good plan. Oh, he's being sarcastic. Yes. So anyway, it's like, I wish I could hear this. And I'm sure this is an allegory to him being godlike.
Yep.
He's flying, not standing. Well, I guess he's standing in air, depending on how you look
hovering.
At it. Hovering. Yes, he's hovering over by the Daily Planet, and he's focusing his hearing, trying to see what's going on in town, and he's commenting on what he's listening to. He says that 2 miles away, some woman is playing her best friend a song she's been working on. It's a cover. Heard the song before, but I can't place it. Going, and he's like, what is this song? Didn't mean to eavesdrop. I'm a little embarrassed. He's thinking to himself. I heard a scream her way, and I was trying to pinpoint where the scream came from. He's very chatty. 3.2. Yes, people in Metropolis, and a lot of them like to scream for a lot of different reasons. Instead, I heard this song. Now I hear the scream, all of them. Damn it. And he takes off, and there's
I like what Yvonne does here with his face. He's like, He's thinking, but then in that last panel when Bendis has him focused in on the screams, his face gets very determined and almost mad.
Yes. It's a good touch.
Yeah.
Definitely a good touch. You see a huge apartment building's on fire, and he's as he's flying up to save the lady in the window, another electrical fire. There's been a rash of them lately. Wonder if it's a coincidence or if this is a systemic problem with the city. A failed building ordinance or a lack of city care, or, and then he drops him off, the girl off, and why, you know, when they said they were bringing the trunks back, I thought, why? We've already went to all the trouble to get people to forget about them, but honestly, I kind of like seeing them back. I don't know about you. It's, you know, comforting to see the Superman I grew up with, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Superman, seventh floor. It's like, I see it. Or is it? Yeah, it is seventh. Okay. Everyone back up. As my mom always said, fire is fire. Okay. Not sure what the hell that was supposed to mean.
It just means, you know, a cigar is sometimes a cigar. Fire is fire.
That's
know?
True.
What are you going to do?
Yep. So he goes in, hi, is this everyone? Okay. That doesn't sound very superhero-y, but oh well. He's using his super breath to put the fire out. A little girl sees him and says, holy whatever, cusses. Language, please. Let's see that.
Out of Captain America, out of yeah. Avengers, Age of Ultron, yes.
Yeah, I love it, though. It's still, that's exactly what Superman would do. Sorry, she says. She's got two little doggies. And he says, ready, four. And he wraps her up in the cape. And he's thinking to himself, I could get out if we're faster than the fire could chase us, but if I fly too fast, I could hurt them. And, you know, stay close. And,
talking about the little girl and the puppies, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fire does probably a backlash or a burst. And he's protecting them, and of course she cusses again. And then he, do you see your mom or dad? Right yeah. There, she says, and he's flying out.
Now going back, I didn't understand why with you know, he's got her wrapped in his cape. Why is it glowing blue inside of his cape?
Yeah, see, I don't get the. Oh, you know what? If you look,
oh, he's blowing breath at them.
Yes, so yes. They will stay cool. I caught that.
Okay.
Just
that's
right after you said it, I saw it. You could just barely see a little bit of breath coming out of his mouth.
That's not a great panel. I mean, it's nice looking, but they don't. It's yeah, okay. I guess better to, you know, you don't, if you can show it, you don't need to say it, but they need to show it more clearly. It's not shown very clearly.
Yeah, that's so true. Like it should maybe a little bit closer up. I don't know. That's one panel that actually needed more words.
Yes.
So he drops her down, he flies down, hands the kid over to the parents, and the firefighter's like, this thing is not cooperating, I hate to bother you, but is there anything you can do, Superman? And he flies up, and he says, happy to. Staccato inhales of super breath should pull most of the fire and smoke away from the building, and in, and into and onto me. And there's not much of on me to keep the fire alive. It burns itself out, and the little girl's like, wow. And it just, like, snuffs. It's like a big ring of fire above their heads, and all of a sudden I had Johnny Cash in my head. There's something about this fire I don't like, other than fire being fire. So he's in the building after the fire's out. And he's
going all Batman here.
Yeah, he is kind of doing Batman with all in the shadows and stuff. Yeah, that really reminds me of Neil Adams' work. I really like that.
Now, the one thing it looks like, and it changes panel to panel, but the S on that one panel in the upper right-hand corner, that's this quiet page when he's looking around, it almost looks like a shield that's part of it. But then if you go to the fourth panel where you're looking down on him – mm-hmm. It's clearly part of his suit. So
yeah, I was going to say that, and I forgot, but in that panel where he's got those two bad guys and he's flying, it looks like that. It looks like it's raised up from his chest. But in that that page, the second panel, you're right, it looks like that, but then it doesn't there. So that's kind of an interesting view.
Yeah. I guess it's just emphasizing the S, and it's the old.
Yes.
It's an old style S. It's the probably 70s, maybe 80s.
Yeah, I would say that's pre-Crisis, so, for sure. Which Crisis never happened.
So, anyhow.
Forget. Yeah, Crisis didn't happen. So he's using his X-ray vision and looking around, trying to figure out what caused it. And he's having a flashback talking to his dad. Dad, what is that? And his father says, Clark. That's a weird picture with his blue eyes looking in X-ray vision instead of the red you usually see when heat vision's on. Dad, what is that? And he's like, you okay, Superman? Hmm? Yes. Did you overdo it with that fancy fire move? I was just thinking about the cause of the fire, he says. It's arson. The fire person says, as we will find out in a second, how can you tell? You could tell. Also, there's been just too many fires in this part of the city, and that can't be some random. And he says, I'm sorry, have we met? No, I just transferred from Coast City. I'm the new deputy fire chief, Melody Moore. Thank you for your help tonight. Want a job? He says, thanks, but you have a job.
And here's Bendis bringing in his redhead. He always has to have a redhead.
Really?
It feels like it.
See, I guess I haven't read as much Bendis as you have, I guess, to...
Oh, I'm wrong. It's supposed to be flashing back to Lana Lang, who was a redhead.
Okay.
And you notice her name? Look, and notice her name? MM as opposed to LL?
No, I didn't catch that, but that makes sense. Most of his stuff I've read is that's powers. Great. That's it. So, but, okay. It says, you have a job. He says, yeah, I do have a couple about there being too many fires. What do you think was behind this, insurance? There's a lot to sift through. I almost said something else. Hate to speak out of
it. You almost said it. I did.
Do you think it's somehow something? There's something more than lighting a building full of people on fire for money? Worse than lighting a building full of fire. Okay. And he said, I'll have a friend from the Daily Planet follow up with your investigators. It's important. The public knows. Oh, that would be very nice. Thank you. And he's saying, how long have you been on the job? First day, so I'm, yeah. Okay, very nice to meet you, Deputy Chief Moore. And she says, am I taller than Wonder Woman? Which has got to be one of the weirdest random questions I've ever read in the comic book. But it was interesting. And he says, yes, actually. I knew it. You know what? I recently dropped off an arson-themed criminal. Calls himself Firefly. Feels worth your investigator's time. And he's says, if you feel anything, feel free to call Clark Kent or Lois. Just call Kent. He'll gladly help with the investigation. Oh, and then she's like, nice to meet you, Superman. And then he looks back. Oh, crap. Super hearing. Stupid. She was flirting with him.
Yes. And he's taking it.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, he's a guy. You know.
Yeah.
I've always been too dumb to notice myself, but hey. So now we're going back to then. You want to take over?
Yeah, I'll finish this off. So we got we're then, and Rogel is taking on some beastie with his sword, and it looks like he's just getting himself some dinner.
His axe is in the shop. And
he's carrying the beastie that he just killed on his shoulders, and he says to some off-panel something or other, he says, you are my first visitor here, ever. And Rogelzar, I am Apa Ali Apsa. I am not really here, says the voice off-panel. And it's glowing green.
It's not Ganthet glowing, either.
No, it's glowing green. And Rogel says, I know who you are. You have news? And the guardian... Apa Ali Apsa says, you certainly found a unique place to live. It keeps me trained, body and mind. in between the wars, nothing is more important. And APA continues, this visit is one made out of our undying respect. The Circle listened and considered your words carefully. It has been decided that your judgment is in this matter is clouded by your personal history. The answer is no. And he's referring to wiping out the Kryptonians, of course, from earlier in the issue. And APA continues, it's important to us all that you know you are not being ignored. For all that you've done for the galaxy and the sacrifices you made, you were heard. But the Kryptonians have not acted towards anyone with aggression. Krypton must be allowed to rise and fall on their own. On their own. And Rogel says, but there is more than one way to... And Appa says, we believe they will rise to the challenge of their new place in the galaxy and act accordingly. Krypton will be left alone. Is it monetary? Have they gotten you through their... Thank you for your services, Rogelzar.
Yeah, and he's referencing the money part, because when his little tirade in the beginning of the issue was how they've become this big trade force or something, I guess.
Yeah, again, not so subtle digs at the Jews and money right there. But that's not that. That's Bendis pointing out how ugly it can be. So, anyhow, so the Guardian vanishes, and Rogel's just fuming, and he's pretty pissed off.
He's re-killing the thing that he just killed.
Yeah, he's taking it apart because he's mad. It's like somebody hitting the wall a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And we are back to now, and Superman zipping in the window of the Daily Planet. Yeah, faster than anyone can follow, except for us who can see art. And we now are in the newsroom, and Clark Kent is all by himself, typing away on the computer. Lots of headlines around him, framed newspapers. They've got also the TV monitors up behind him, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Nice touch. All the other monitors just say Daily Planet on them, as they should when they're locked. Remember, folks, lock your computer at work every day.
Yes, absolutely.
And Clark is staring at a blank screen. He looks around him quietly, and then he super speed types, and all of a sudden we have the exclusive downtown fire, maybe arson, on his screen because he did that at super speed. Mm-hmm. And voice off panel says, tell me you're sitting on gold, Kent. And it all of a sudden the office is very full. I mean, everybody showed up at once. And there's Perry White, the chubby Perry White with the gray on the temples.
Yeah, I find that panel a little weird, but hey, that's just me.
Yes. People rarely all show up at the same time. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, he says, I have some arson, Mr. White. Arson, I'm looking for blood-curdling citywide conspiracy, and you bring me arson? Multiple counts. But still... arson? Superman was there, according to reports. Hey, Jimmy. And there's Jimmy Olsen, young again. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that's Ron, what's his name, behind him? Whose name, his last name, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
And,
some of this was set up in Action Comics number 1000, especially the Lois's office.
Yes, which is now Perry White's office. And he says, all right. And Kent smirks at him like, yeah, I knew the story would go over. And then he sees the picture of his wife and son. And he looks a little, I don't know, he looks thoughtful or sad. Maybe he's feeling guilty about having flirted with that firefighter earlier.
I think so.
Yeah. And he says, what do you call this? And we're now in his apartment, their apartment. Well, son, they call that a growth spurt. And we see John Kent. He's not quite fitting in his Superboy outfit like he used to. He's gotten taller. He says, John's like, I cannot go out like this. Kent says, yeah, I wouldn't. John says, Mom said she has no time to fix it right now, and that I should, and I quote, join the legion of kids that are old enough to fix their own problems, unquote. Really? Mm-hmm. And we're in the kitchen. We're in the Kent kitchen, which is... Oh, I always find their stuff surprisingly nice for a couple of reporters.
True.
She's sitting on the island in the kitchen, and she's saying, on the phone, he didn't sell it. It was much funnier when I said it. She's talking to her family, but she's also on the phone. And K Kent says to Lois, did the vice president admit to his previously undisclosed financial stake in the Star Labs overseas operations? She says he's about to. He just doesn't know it. Kent says, All of a sudden, there's a flashing light. Clark! Dad, what is... Oh. And we get the fade to white, like in Crisis. And
Zero Dad, Hour.
What is... Oh, Clark. Yes, Zero Hour. And it's to be continued next week in Man of Steel number 2 as the family Kent and Lane, whatever, start to vanish into the white. And that is quite the ending for this book.
Yes, it
and
is.
I read one review, that complained about that the ending was too abrupt, and I thought it was perfect.
I can agree. I agree with that.
Boom. Anybody who's a Crisis or Zero Hour or any DC event that just sort of things to kind of fade to white. That's what this did. It faded to white.
Yeah, and I missed it, that Guardian actually called their group the Circle, too. He said the Circle. I missed it. Totally missed it.
So he's not making his own. He's just co-opting. It's like he thinks it's a good idea that Busick came up with way back when, and he's like, okay, I'll use it. What the hell?
Yeah.
Not Busick. Wade, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Wade. Oh, yeah.
In
doing research, I was reading a thing about... I was trying to figure, you know, look at find what I was looking for, and I came into a thing about how Magog came about, and I guess the quote from Wade was, I was trying to think of the worst conglomeration of Rob Liefeld character design that I could think of, and he said the whole thing about Cable and the arm and what's the deal with the guns and a bunch of other stuff. Sure. It's hilarious. So I found it quite funny. But anyway,
that is.
I like it. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
It wasn't bad. It is wordy, but I don't mind some words. There once in a while. I mean, it's pretty good. I think it was good. So.
Yes.
Let's see. Since you've got a hard stop, let's wrap this up. We don't need to chatter on too much with it.
Okay.
Unless you have something else to say.
No, I just, this was out of character for Bendis, because actually a lot happened in this issue.
Yeah, actually it did.
And there was really only a couple of monologues in this. And so, again, it was an out-of-character writing for him, though. That's all. That's it. I'm done. All
right, then. So, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromalongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page. You never know when we might do something on there. I've been real bad about that. Of course, I don't go there that often anyway. Just every once in a while. Just post puns. Memes is all pretty much all I do anymore, with much to everyone's chagrin. And comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. I'm not distracted at all.
No, not in the least bit. It doesn't sound like it at all.
All right, that's it for this week, and we are out.
All right.